All right, welcome back to episode two of the NDL Weekly Podcast. I am RB for SC, and I'm here with Jason UK. We will have a special guest joining us soon, but Jason, we made it through draft day.
We did, and we got it done in 2 days. We didn't even need the Sunday appointment. We got over almost half of it done Friday night. We had people making picks after the 10 o'clock window ended, and we had a little bit of an issue there with the second overall pick, which I'm sure we'll get to. But for the most part, went pretty smooth.
Yeah, I
except
should say
for except for
draft.
Homie kicking us all out repeatedly.
I should say draft days, but yeah, super impressed. I mean, 134 picks, that's not easy to get through. And I want to say we did get more than halfway done in about a 6 hour window day one, and then not officially wrapped up until I think yesterday with some stragglers there at the end. But yeah, just speaks again to the community. We got 134 committed guys. And yeah, well, we're on it. We'll just dive right into the draft recap. Any surprises or anything that sticks out on paper right away?
Well, obviously, I'm the biggest surprise for me was Old School had taken New Mexico State sixth. Obviously, you get a top 10 pick, you assume that you're going to take top team, try to go for a title, see it, save it. Daniel, we joked about he was going to take Navy. He took Ohio State, and the point he made was, I may never draft this high again, so I'm at least going to give it a shot. And so to see somebody take New Mexico State sixth overall, there's obviously some strategy to it. You're hoping that you can maybe draft a little bit higher, but I don't know how much higher you can get than sixth. It kind of feels like maybe he was wanting to kind of feel the game out, see how things go, set himself up for year two, and possibly get one of those top two or three teams if somebody struggles. But it was definitely a pick that threw a lot of us for a loop.
Yeah, I think my first initial reaction was, uh-oh, like pause the draft. He accidentally hit New Mexico State and not Notre Dame, right? Like one of those picks. But I see it. I kind of see it. Like you start with a smaller win goal, right? You don't put all your eggs in that basket in the first season. You learn the game, you play it, you have fun, and then you set yourself up for, a top draft pick in year two, and now you can get one of those big teams that doesn't hit their win goal or that becomes available, and then now you're a better player, you understand the game better, and now you have your team, right, for the next two, three, five, however many seasons you can keep them. So, yeah, definitely threw me for a loop. I think that was obviously the biggest surprise. Really cool to see like some guys really sticking to their guns, right, and like picking their team. I mean, I think it was no surprise Ghost of Pauley Pavilion taking UCLA as well. Like that's his team. You got some teams like Texas Tech up there. You got, Tulane, Memphis. There's some strategy involved there going to, again, that smaller conference and not, being maybe a lesser team in a bigger conference. So I think those were not really necessarily surprises, but themes that we saw as we got further along.
Yeah, and I think the other surprise for me was people staying away from the Big Ten. Yes, you had Ohio State and Penn State go third and fourth, and the UCLA pick was obviously a homer pick, and kudos to them for it. You had Michigan 17th and Nebraska 15th, and then it was just a ghost town after that. You didn't get another Big Ten team for 17 picks until USC at 34. You got Iowa at 37. You got Wisconsin at 45, and then again, it was just a huge gap after that. You had a lot of Big Ten teams just sitting out there. I think the next one that went after that was Purdue at 69. Nice. So, I mean, you had a lot of. I want to see when the last Big Ten team went.
Think it was 91 Northwestern.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, Big Ten, most of the other Power Five schools were off the board by then. Even Vandy went before that. So it just kind of surprised me. I don't know if it was people wanting to stay away from, mediocre teams or having to go to the Big House, to the Horseshoe, to Death Valley, all those really to Wisconsin, all those really tough environments. And I think that played a key role too in a lot of people's draft. I think a lot of people were looking at conference games, where they had to go. I know it was something that I didn't want to take a Power 5 team for that reason. I didn't want to go on the road to one of these huge stadiums the way that home field advantage is right now and basically have no shot.
Yeah, one thing that kind of stood out to me, and I just, maybe it was just dumb luck or interesting, but it felt like there was a run on conferences like at a time. And I was, one, surprised that Arizona and Florida State lasted as long as they did. I think those are top 20 teams.
Should we go ahead and get into our steals? Because that Arizona was one of my steals.
Yeah, we'll definitely get into that. But like the run on conferences, you know, like it just seemed like all at once a conference started coming off the board. And I'm looking at like the Big 12, which I like instantly regretted joining after I saw who was in it. I didn't really think through it. But yeah, I mean, you got West Virginia, Houston come through. And then right after that, OSU, Baylor. It just seemed like at once these conferences kind of like all of a sudden started to fall in line, which was kind of interesting. But yeah, we'll go right into steals. I mean, I think we're both on the same page. Even like Oklahoma State at 46. Like, I did not think a team like that would drop that far. And then same with UCF. Like, when I was, you know, scouting teams or looking at myself drafting, I thought for sure I was going to land in like the Fresno, you know, Fresno State, Boise State, like Mountain West kind of range. And then they dropped. But then again, the instant regret after seeing Arizona State come off the board a few picks later and seeing who got them kind of scares me a little bit. Yeah, you're still the draft. I think you mentioned one. Any others that stand out?
Yeah, Colorado at 23 was a big one for me. You've got, you know, two of the best game breakers on the entire game. I know that they've got some weaknesses in other places, but to have Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders on your team is invaluable. I don't know if people were a bit scared of being accused of cheesy play by utilizing those two guys. I know that's something that would have made me hesitate. But getting them at 23, I thought for sure they're going to be a top 15 pick. And then the one that scares me as a steal is Big Mike getting Missouri at 40.
Oh yeah.
Because Missouri, if you've looked at Missouri, that's a solid team. There's really no, they have one questionable spot on the offensive line and they've got one linebacker spot, but if you play 4-2-5, it doesn't matter. That's a really solid team. And he's a three or four time champion in the league. He's one of the best players in the league. Getting him at getting that team at that spot, what are we doing? Come on, guys. We can't.
I know. I think I made that comment. I was like, I can't believe Big Mike just got that offense. Like,
yeah, you were like, I'm not going SEC.
Yeah, no. Right after that, when I saw he got that offense, and I think the defensive rating scared some people away from Missouri. But their offense is, you know, insane. I think they returned pretty much everybody from last year, minus the running back. And I have not played with them yet. I've seen some others play with them. Very, very good team. And I'm sure the SEC will be tough as always. But any late picks that stand out that feel like a steal? I'll just say it right off the bat. I think getting Fresno State at 63 I wouldn't know if I'd say it's a steal, but I was surprised they didn't go a little bit higher. Same with Boise State. Boise State at 71. Mountain West, I think, has some really quality teams, but I look down at like Toledo and a couple others. I won't steal them all, but just anyone that stands out that got a quality team a little bit later in the draft.
Yeah, I think Cincinnati at 81. I know that's a tough conference, but that's a solid team. Western Kentucky at 79 is a team I was looking at earlier in the draft. I think he can do some stuff. Wasted Memory can do some stuff with that team. The Fresno pick, you know, that was me. I regret that now because I have a win goal of 11 right now. And I'm not going to win 11. I mean, obviously it's 10, but I'm not going to win 10. So hopefully I can get some, you know, all the other stuff and get a couple road wins and get to keep them. But, no, I think looking through the teams, I don't see any that stand out really. In terms of the later teams, I know that a lot of guys were just trying to get, you know, either teams that they felt they could do something with or that had a couple good players. I do think one interesting team is Toledo. It was a team that I was looking at. I'm trying to see where they went. I know they went 73rd. Their corners suck, but everything else on that team is really good. So if you can overcome that that's a team that probably could have gone 10 to 15 spots higher because their offense is really, really good. They've got a 96 speed running back. I think he's 85 or 86 rated that is going to cause problems.
Yeah, and there's another team there in that conference in the MAC who is really good. It's a really good team, but they have no offense. And I'm trying to think, was that Miami, Ohio in the MAC?
Yeah, I think Miami had a good defense and offense.
Yeah, good defense, no offense. And I saw they went a little bit later. I actually, the only reason I think this is an interesting pick is because I helped him pick the team. I just happened to be by my PS5 when he needed some assistance. He was at the airport, but Sam Houston State at 110. I was going through the rosters with James on Discord chat of Charlotte and Sam Houston, and Sam Houston State has some team speed. Like I was going through his roster, giving him ratings, and it was like, oh, you have a guy with 96 speed, 94, 92, 92, 91. And I was like, holy crap. Like, I think that's Conference USA.
The awareness? Because speed without awareness is not good.
What's the awareness and catching traffic and catch on the run and all those other ratings? But yeah, I know. I actually, there's a guy on my team who's like 96 speed, 81 overall receiver, but he's like sixth on my depth chart because like his catch and everything else is just terrible. So he's only going to be returning punts for me. But yeah, very, very interesting draft. It was cool. It's probably the first full draft that NDL's done since year one, I'm assuming. So I'll wrap it up on the draft. Any overall final reactions on everything that unfolded over the weekend?
No, I mean, it's so hard to, and we're going to get into some predictions and stuff here in a bit, but it's so hard to figure out, you know, what's going to happen with this because we know the old names, but there's so many new guys in this league, you know, and we don't know anything about them. They could be bad. They could be good. They could be average. And I think we'll get to the end of the season and we'll look back and say, okay, well, that was a steal for that coach. Mm-hmm. But there are just so many guys that might be able to do something with some of these lesser teams that we aren't aware of yet. So it's going to be a really interesting season on that.
Yeah, couldn't have said it better myself. And good transition. We are going to kind of give some overall reactions and, you know, quote unquote predictions as best we can. No discredit to any of the new guys if we aren't really going out on a limb here on predictions on how you play or how you do, because we just don't know you yet. But looking at the Power Four, I guess we call it the Power Five. We'll call it the Power Four. RIP Pac-12. Still a conference, but not necessarily a power conference any longer. So we'll do those four right now, and then we will do the group of five on the next episode, because otherwise we'll probably be here for a couple hours. But we'll start with the Big Ten. We talked about it already. Interesting unfolding. You got the top teams off the board pretty quick. Some newcomers with UCLA, USC. But what do you see out of the Big Ten? And I guess early predictions, you know, how do you see it unfolding?
This one's a tough one. Obviously, if I had to pick somebody right now, I would pick Freak. He's a good coach. He's got Michigan, which is one of the better teams in the game. The issue with the Big Ten is you've got a lot of new coaches. I think it might have the most new coaches of any of the Power Four conferences. I think that I picked a dark horse for each of the. I think Illinois could cause some issues in the Big Ten. UF's a really good coach. That is a team that's got it's not one of those teams that has a sneaky good player at any place, but they don't have any major weaknesses. Like every position, they're rated like 76 or higher. So it's a solid team, which means there's not any one spot that you can exploit. If he's able to find a way to move the ball consistently and get stops consistently, I mean, Illinois is not a bad team, and there are some iffy teams in the league. The problem is, again, I don't know what these new guys are going to do, so it makes it really, really difficult to predict anything.
Yeah, it is. Like, again, these predictions, we probably make more predictions in the next couple of weeks as things unfold, but what I've noticed in this game is you could be a really damn good player, but if you're playing against a really damn good team, it is hard to overcome that skill gap of player ratings. I've played some games where, you know, I've played against Bama and Georgia, where I'm little old UCF or trying out another team, and I feel like it's competitive and I'm like right in the game, maybe down by one or two possessions at most, but just can't seem to get over the hump. So for the Big Ten, I think that is going to be really, for all conferences, that's going to be the motif, if you will, the theme that we see. And so I'm just going to probably go chalk here and say that Ohio State, you know, is probably the team that I would see winning the Big Ten. I don't know about some of these new guys. We might have some, you know, USC in here. Well, I don't think Ryan's new, but, you know, might see some of these newer guys with Minnesota, like you said, Illinois, make some noise. But if they're at Oregon, at Penn State, at Ohio State, that's just tough to overcome, I've noticed so far in this game.
Yeah, and I always forget Oregon's in the Big 12 or the Big 10.
Right, yeah.
That's the interesting one because, you know, Mark wanted Ohio State and unfortunately didn't get Ohio State. He was on a phone call with his boss. You can't fault him for not being able to duck over to the draft. That whole situation sucked. But Daniel was able to get Ohio State and Mark gets Oregon. Oregon's a really good team. Can Mark, you know, kind of use that to his advantage, maybe a little bulletin board material to go out and win the conference?
Love it. Love it. We'll move on to the SEC. I believe you're the commissioner of the SEC, correct?
I am.
All right. So can you make predictions or is
just
that
means more
conflict of interest?
Yeah. No, I'm not Kirk Herbstreit. I can make predictions. So there's seven newbies in this league and there's seven returning vets. So that gives it already kind of a nice balance. And it's going to be interesting to see how things go. Obviously, DK and getting Georgia. Georgia's the best team on the game. They're unbelievably loaded. He's a solid coach. But you've got Big Mike. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. Big Mike with a solid team in Missouri is going to cause problems. And depending on how some of these newer guys play, I could see if Big Mike is able to make a run and Kane slips up somewhere, I could see Big Mike stealing the SEC title. He's a guy that's won three or four national championships in the league. He's, you know, still got the stick skills, even though he's getting up there in age. And that is going to be a very tough team to beat.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head. That was kind of where I was leaning, was Missouri. I was watching him play a scrim the other day against Vanderbilt. I don't know how that game ended, but I know Vandy was looking pretty good. That was a close game. I think, you know, they were even up on him. And, you know, scrim's a scrim, right? Like, not going to take that for everything right now because we're all super new to this game. But I'm with you. I'm curious to see what Florida does. Like, they're a fun, good team in this game. FTB, new coach, new guy in here. I got him on my schedule because I really wanted to get that UCF Florida rivalry going, or Florida State. So shout out to him for taking that game on. Curious to see what Texas will do. Like, obviously, I think what they're the, you know, fourth or fifth best rated team in the game. But yeah, conference of new guys, it's kind of up for grabs. You know, credit to you guys for jumping into the SEC. I remember I played in the SEC twice in the NDL back before, you know, the game went away. I think I had Kentucky, went 6-6, which is right on par. That's very realistic, right, Jason?
Yeah.
And then I had Arkansas, and I think I went 5-7. And even though those were good teams, man, it was tough. It was tough playing against a lot of those veteran guys and some of those top tier teams. So I'll go with Missouri. That's my pick.
Well, I don't think you had. I was gonna say, I think I ended UK. I didn't play the very last season. But I played, I want to say I've had 5-year run to end everything with UK. And then of course we lose the game and then UK gets good. So I never got to play with Josh Allen. That's a whole thing. It's a sore spot. Damn you, EA. Damn you, Ed O'Bannon.
Yeah. That whole NIL thing ruined it for everybody. And now everyone loves NIL, right? So, yeah. All right. Big 12, fun conference. It's a conference I'm in. I, like I said, about six picks after I joined, I looked at who was in it and was like, oh shit, this is going to be a tough conference, but it's going to be a fun conference. You know, I think a lot of people are maybe overlooking it a little bit, both in real life and maybe in this game, because you don't really have like a top tier team. You know, maybe Utah you could throw in there as a top 10 team. And after that, you know, there's a lot of teens and 20s and 30s in ratings, rankings, I should say. But what do you see out of the Big 12?
I believe the Big 12, and I could be wrong, just doing quick math a little bit ago, I believe the Big 12 is the only league with multiple champions in it, multi-time champions. VT's won multiple championships. Shell's won multiple championships. This is going to be one of the toughest leagues, if not the toughest league in NDL this season. You've got a lot of returning veterans. You got a lot of good coaches. Razorback, VT, Shell, Outlaw, Bearass, you, Buckeye, Dak. I mean, this is a loaded league. I'm glad I stayed far, far away. Obviously, you look at Shell, what he's been able to do in the past. He's got a very good quarterback with speed, and he's got two really good running backs. I'm glad I don't have to defend West Virginia this season. VT, I mean, Chase, we know what he is with a cornerback. He is going to cause problems the way that you can intercept the ball in this game. He's going to cause problems with Arizona State. I think Razorback wins the league, though. I think Arizona is a very dangerous team. I've played with them a couple scrims. They're a very fun team to play with. They've got a lot of balance. They've got a lot of speed. And I think that's a team that is going to cause problems for everybody in the league.
Yeah, I'm just looking at my schedule weeks 10, 11, and 13, and 14. I play Razorback and VT. Then I get a bye. Then I play Shell and Dak. What did I sign up for? Like, why did I do that?
Stakes were made.
Yeah. Hey, but it's fun. I'm glad to be back in the league. We're just going to have fun as I talk myself off the ledge. But no,
When do you play Arizona?
I think it's week 10. Yeah. And I played Razorback a couple times in the old seasons, and I went through my history just to remind myself who I played against. And I don't remember any of the games, obviously, but played him close a couple times. Shell, he wiped me a few times. VT, I think, beat me by 30 last time I played him in 2013. Hey, hopefully 10 years, hopefully you guys are older and rustier. Maybe I can compete, but
question is, did you play him when he had a 98 speed running back?
I don't remember.
You're going to find out.
I was going to say, I'll wake up in the middle of the night having Vietnam flashbacks, I'm sure, after I play him. So, I think this league is also very similar, though. I think I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 newcomers out of 14. So almost half of the league. But I think we were kind of floating with the idea of doing superlatives, and the superlative for this league was just steamroller, which, no pun intended, our great coach steamroller. But this is heavy weighted, going to be fun, going to be interesting to see how it unfolds.
Absolutely.
Prediction, who'd you predict?
Arizona.
I'm going to go with VT. I know he doesn't have the best team, but he was really good back in the day, and I have a feeling he's still really, really good. And
he's more excited about the uniform combinations than anything else. Like, literally, that was why he picked Arizona State. I think he was saying there were 14 different uniform combinations. So he's very excited about what he'll be able to do with the swag.
And then last but not least, maybe least, we'll go to the ACC. Interesting conference. I thought about joining this one as well. I was hoping my Dallas local team, SMU, would fall to me. They did not. I think they went about 8 or 9 picks ahead of me. I think Clemson is the standout here. Big Rye has a good history with NDL. Been a great coach, great record. I can't imagine anyone else. Can't imagine anyone else beating them, but I don't think Clemson's a good team in real life. I don't think they're a fun team at all, but they're Clemson and they got a great coach, and that's who I start to lead toward.
I'm leaning dealer with Miami. I mean, that is another team that probably should have gone a little bit earlier than they did. It's a team with a lot of speed. It's a team with a favorable schedule, if I remember correctly. And Dealer's got a good history in this league. But this is also going to be a very tough league because this one is chock full of veteran coaches. You've got a lot of, you got 6 Feet, you got Big Rye, you've got Dealer, you got Ice, you got Victim. I mean, you go down the list. Steamroller, who you mentioned, our guy Nidler, who's going to join us here in a little bit. This is a stacked league, and there's going to be a lot of hard fought battles. I think this one's going to be a war of attrition more than any, even more than the Big 12, because I think you have a lot of evenly matched teams in that second tier. And I think that's what's going to lead to, you know, where the standings fall out in this league. Or conference, I should say.
I got to ask you about your favorite team, Louisville. What do you think of them in this league?
They're bums. They're trash. They're overrated. No, when they get the live rating update, it's just going to go downhill.
Yeah, so. That's something I'm curious to see, live ratings. But, yeah, it's a great recap of the Power Four.
Down.
We will jump into a special guest that we've brought on, Mr. Former Commish, current Commish. Who is the current Commish officially? I was asking you, Jason. Well, I was asking you, who is the current commissioner?
I think he is. Yeah, okay. I think he is.
All right. Well, he is.
I think Holmes running the administrative stuff, and then, you know, there's a whole bunch of us helping out with things, but I'm pretty sure he's the head honcho.
All right. Well, we'll take a quick pause here and shoot him a message. He should be joining us. He's actually in the lobby right now, but we'll shoot him a note and we'll get started. All right. Welcome on. I hope I am recording. I am. Okay. Good stuff. I'll edit this out. No, I won't, because I don't have those kind of skills. But hey, welcome on.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Try talking again.
I said, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. Perfect. We got you. It was cutting out there for a second. All right. So want to start off with just honestly a huge thank you to keeping this thing going over the past 10 years. It's not like NDL just completely disappeared over the last 10 years. It's been a community still active on the forums, the Discord, a lot of other stuff going on. So just wanted to shout you out for that. But, you know, take us back. Like, when did NDL get started back up? When was it like a real idea? And how did this all come about?
So the NDL itself, as you kind of mentioned, technically never went away as a community. When NCAA, you know, announced back then that they weren't making anything past 14, the forums, we definitely saw, you know, a decline in the number of users, the chatting, the posting, everything kind of went down. Luckily, OOTP baseball, out of the park baseball, is what kept the forums alive. I think, I don't remember who the first commissioner was of the baseball league. It might have been Trendon or AJ, one of those guys. I wasn't in the league at that point. I didn't play the OOTP baseball back then. But that's what kept the forums alive, was that fantasy sport. And, you know, it kind of evolved from there. I think it was Rain who was the, commissioner when I joined the league. And then he kind of taught me the ropes to be the commissioner of the OOTP baseball league. And, I eventually took over as a commissioner of that baseball league. And then again, that's just kind of what kept the forums alive. We tried to pull in other games, whether it was wrestling or golf or different things, but nothing stuck. Nothing stuck like the college football. So, you know, it was rough there for a while, I think, just keeping it active, keeping people, you know, on the forums and stuff. And then at one point, I think I don't remember who was running the baseball league at that time. But I mentioned that, you know, maybe we should go to, like Slack. We use Slack for a while and we still do for a little bit of communication for baseball, but that league still uses the forums today. And you know, when I mentioned about the Slack, of course that was, you know, a huge mistake on my part because it almost killed the forums completely. You know, at the time I thought it was what was best for the baseball league, but, you know, it was obviously the wrong thing to do for the forums. And, luckily, I don't know if it was Billy who runs the league now who was running it then, but they, you know, kept things in the forum and kept it going. And, then it was probably damn near a year ago now, whenever we started hearing rumblings about, NCAA coming back, It was Holmey who actually, you know, Blake, who got the idea of, I mean, he just ran with it. He had the site kind of saying coming soon. He started working on stuff on the back end before I think anybody even had a chance to chat with him about it. He was the driver of it. He was the one who was like, hey, I'm making this work. I'm bringing it back. You know, all this stuff is still functional. The behind the scenes stuff is still there. He's like, I just need to refresh it, kind of, you know, get it working the way he wanted it to work. And then it had to be at least 8 months ago or so when I joined the Discord with him. He's the one that set up the Discord and was like, hey, join this. And then it just kind of took off from there. It was, you know, he sent an email out. He used the old, I don't know if it was database or what he pulled the information from, to get all the previous members. And just sent out a mass email to everybody like, hey, the NDL is coming back, you know, college football is coming back. Let's make this happen. And people just started to kind of trickle in from there. And then like through the OTP Baseball League, I reached out to the, you know, those guys who were NDLers, but on the baseball side of things, and tried to reach out to people that, you know, I was still in touch with, like in the Madden League and stuff, that Rain and Pino and Doc and Seibert and those guys are all in, and you know, tried to get those guys all coming back. And then before you knew it, we were, I don't know, like 70 some members coming back that were previous NDLers. And then it was like, okay, this is really gonna happen. Let's start reaching out to get more people, because, you know, the game now has 134 teams instead of whatever it was before. So we knew we needed some extras, and again, Holmey, myself, Shell, everybody just started reaching out to people, posting in different Discords they were in, advertising the league, and it just kind of became a reality of everybody just started joining the Discord. And then it was, again, Homie's idea. I can't take credit for it. It's all him of getting this thing set up and making it function and setting up the different channels. And I mean, he's absolutely amazing with pulling the data in from the website and making it feed into the Discord, or, you know, vice versa, feeding the other way as well.
It's some next level shit. Like, he, you'd have me fooled. I would think he's like a professional website developer or something with how he has this all running. A lot to unpack there, man. First of all, I got to say, we're grateful for you guys for keeping this going. I think back in like end of 2022 was like when they announced that it was coming back. And I remember like feverishly trying to get back into my NDL account on the website and couldn't remember, could not remember my email, could not remember my password. Like, oh man, my username. Okay. What was that? Like, and I probably like exceeded the limit of login attempts and locked me out almost for probably a year. But thank God for the Discord, because, once that Discord went up on that website, I don't know when it was, but I checked back in last May. I think it was like mid May, and was like, okay, like I got to get back in this. So, kudos to you guys. A lot of awesome, work that you guys have put in. And I think one thing that stands out to me is that someone always has someone's number in this group where, you know, oh, hey, reach out to so-and-so to get them their draft pick. Or not only that, but like some of these guys are like, oh, I'm Facebook friends with him. I'll message him and see if he wants to join. And it's like, it's just crazy how that's what NDL turned into even 10 years later. Like, you know, T Wade is a guy that I met playing Call of Duty in like 2006 or seven. And then we both got into NDL and we still talk football. We still give each other crap all the time. And you know, he's more of one of the quiet members nowadays, but it's just crazy how like the friendships and the Facebook, ads and messages and text messages still flow between all these people.
And then I was going to say real quick, we've got, you know, all these people posting where they're at, and all of a sudden you realize, well, there's, you know, there's four of us within this small area near UK. There's like 10 people in Dallas. There's, you know, all these people are like, oh yeah, we live, you know, 10 miles apart. And suddenly people that you never knew before this are suddenly, you know, let's grab a beer together. You know, Chase and I, VT Run and Gun, we knew each other before this, and then we both ended up in the league, and it didn't even, I think it took us a full season to realize that we were in the league together. We were both part of the EA Sports Campus Rep intern program. He was at Virginia Tech, I was at UK. And so we had communicated through that. And then, I think it was like a year, year and a half later, we're like, oh, wait, hey, that's you. We're in the NDL together. And, you know, you talk about Vegas conventions. You talk about people getting together for cookouts. You know, Shell and Corey, obviously, you know, great friends outside of here. You have people that you text with that you know, and it's all around a virtual video game. And, you know, for years I told people about this, and they'd look at me like I'm crazy. But I'm like, you just don't understand. You have to be a part of it. We are all this community. We bicker with each other. We give each other shit. We rip on each other. But at the end of the day, we're part of something that has now lasted almost 20 years. And it's insane to think that. And I thank you, Niddler, for keeping Out of the Park running. Because honestly, if it weren't for Excel Sheet Baseball Simulator, I don't know that this thing would have survived. Because I feel like we would have broken up far before this game came back to us.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, I don't remember that long ago who exactly it was, but between Corey, Shell, Rain, Trendon, my God, I can't even think of some of the names, but, you know, thank God they were the ones who, you know, started the OTP Baseball League and kept it going and, you know, kept the forums alive and kept it here, because as you guys mentioned, I agree with you that, you know, Pino is one of my good buddies now who I met through one of the NDL Vegas conventions. And, you know, then he traveled when I lived in Cleveland, he would travel for work. And every time he was in town, we'd get together, have dinner. You know, just like you said, and, Randall Black Rain, every time I was out in Vegas, he lives in Henderson, and, you know, we would get together and hang out for a day or two. I mean, it's crazy to think that a video game, I mean, there's lifelong friends there now, you know, yeah, based on these forums. It started, like you said, 20 years ago, you know, and you have friends that you are now, you know, I met them because of this video game. And that's why, to me, it was such a big deal when this game's coming back, because, you know, we have a lot of new members that they don't realize what they're getting into from that perspective,
yeah,
you know, from a community and a brotherhood perspective. So, you know, to me, it's just huge. I mean, it's like I said, there's people who I'll be lifelong friends with now because of the NDL.
Yeah. It's kind of like a family reunion, if you will. And I know a lot of y'all have been in touch over, yeah, the years anyways, but like, there are people where it's like, oh yeah, I remember you. We used to play each other. We used to go back and forth on the forums and stuff like that. And if anything, I think the NDL was trendsetters, because I think back then, if you met up with internet buddies you played video games with, you were weird. And now it's like, yeah, normal. And it's a very normal thing. So we definitely set that trend, but definitely want to talk about the upcoming season here. I think one thing that has been a little, it hasn't been as contentious as I thought it was, but I wanted to just kind of ask you about the gameplay settings. I know you posted yesterday what those were, but for anyone who missed it, would you care to just kind of share what the gameplay settings will look like and maybe share any insight on how we came to that decision?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it was, you know, testing. I've only gotten to play, say, a handful of games, but Decane and Rain, those guys, I mean, Decane has logged probably 80 games by now since the game has come out. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that. I mean, it's probably been that many.
Makes me feel better about my SEC pick.
And so, you know, those are guys that I kind of leaned on when it was like, hey, what are you guys seeing? What are you feeling? And, you know, Rain, from the time that he's taught me the OTP stuff, he's always been a guy I've respected because he always has data to back up his opinion. It's never just a gut feeling. It's never just, hey, we should do this. It's, here's the data. Here's, you know, I ran several games at AA level. Here's what it looks like. I ran them at 7 minutes with accelerated clock. Here's how many plays we had. I ran it with no accelerated clock. Here's what it looks like. I ran 8 minutes with 25-second, you know, accelerated clock. Here's what it looks like. Here's the number of plays. Here's the stats. Here's, you know, so I've always respected him from that perspective because he's always been the type where it's, you know, he wants it to be kind of as realistic as it can be from a stat perspective. This game, unfortunately, doesn't give us as much control over that, especially not using like the in-game dynasty mode. You don't have commissioner settings sliders that you could go in and easily set. You know, so that hinders us a little bit from that perspective, but you know, we obviously are the only ones out there that do what we do with having 134 human coaches. So, you know, it's, you got to do what you got to do to make it work for everyone. And, you know, a lot of us, we had discussions even with, you know, I posted in the one channel that's just all previous NDLers. And it was like, hey guys, what are your thoughts? You know, Shell and I and Homie kind of talked in a little admin group we've had since day one of getting this all set up, configured and all that. And we all said kind of the same thing was, we kind of like Heisman, but think of it from the league as a whole. You know, you have veterans who are absolutely fantastic at this game. And even if you played on Heisman, they're going to be great no matter what. They're going to put up crazy numbers no matter what. You have someone like myself who's a veteran that I, quite frankly, suck at the game. And I'm okay with that. Like, I'm average. That's it. Mm-hmm. And then you have new guys who we don't know how they're going to be yet. You know, some are going to be fantastic. Some are going to be like myself. So that's why we decided on the All-American difficulty level to start off with, is we think it just makes it a little more, I guess, inviting to everyone in the league. And then go from there. You know, if we play this first season and numbers are off the charts and everybody's like, you know, listen, this needs to be a little bit more difficult, or, you know, we reevaluate and we go from there. We adjust if we need to. But, you know, I think that I don't see a big difference myself between All-American and Heisman. It's a little more difficult, and the turnover numbers definitely go up as you switch to Heisman. But other than that, the stats and the number of plays and that kind of stuff really didn't change a whole lot from what we've seen. So, you know, it just, our gut feeling was, after talking to everybody, Shell and myself and Homie were like, listen, let's keep it to All-American, at least for the first season. Again, we think it's just the most inviting option for, you know, new guys and veterans alike. So that's where that kind of came from. The quarter length, the 7 minutes, I mean, that's what we used in the past. So we started off with that number for testing. And then it was, again, someone like Rain, someone like DeCane giving the stats behind their testing of, okay, if I run 7 minutes with 20-second accelerated clock, here's how many plays we've had on average. If I run it with no accelerated clock, you know, here's what we have. If I run it with, you know, if I want those realistic numbers, then I got to go to 8 minutes if I want to use an accelerated clock of 25 seconds. And one of the arguments that the previous NDLers in that channel all kind of mentioned was they liked the no accelerated clock because it gave you time to make adjustments, defensive adjustments, offensive adjustments, you know, audibles, different things. So from that perspective, it was like, okay, well, if we go with the 8 minutes and the 25-second accelerated clock, yeah, that makes the number of plays and the stats kind of realistic. But if the main argument is I want time to be able to make those defensive adjustments, audibles, that kind of stuff, then the no accelerated clock made the most sense. And if that makes the most sense, then it was the 7 minute setting that made the most sense for realistic. So those kind of fed each other, and that's how we came up with the 7 minutes, the All-American, and the no accelerated clock. You know, other than that, the only real settings in there is fatigue and injuries. Obviously those are on just because it keeps it more realistic. Even teams is off, obviously, because we're using our own teams that we've picked. And then the weather on, that's the only other setting in there. And that's, you know, that's going to be on by default. And all of us, we'd like to play rain games or snow games now and then. So, you know, and I don't think I posted those specifics in there yet, but, those are the other things looking at the screen that are in your settings when you go to send a game invite. So.
Yeah, you like to play snow games until your opponent has all white uniforms and you don't know it until you get into the game. And then you're like, no, my internet went out. Sorry, we got to restart.
Hey, no, we don't do those kind of things.
Don't get any ideas.
When you have bad eyesight like I do, yes, you do.
No, I mean, it's great for you to peel back the curtain like that, because I was not aware that, you know, those guys have been keeping track of stats and data. And so when I say sometimes jokingly in the Discord, that's the NDL difference. It really is. We got guys out there on the front lines tracking this stuff, taking down their statistics, their data, their scores. And one thing I've noticed is that I've played games on AA that finish 17-14. I've played games on AA that finish 42-35. Like, that's kind of the randomness of college football. And I think for this season, you hit the nail on the head. Like, let's, you know, ease everybody back into it. Let's, you know, make adjustments as we go along. But yeah, I think speaking for all of us NDLers, like, you guys obviously put a lot of thought into this and are looking out for the best interest in the league. So we're looking forward to it for sure.
And I think it's important, and you pointed out, JD, I think it's really important that we make sure that, because it is a learning curve. I haven't played, I played Madden a couple times, but I hated it because it was just so damn cheesy. And the lobby games were god awful. They were worse than NCAA ever was. So I haven't played Madden in a couple years. And it's been a real adjustment trying to get back into this game. And I played a couple Heisman games, and the last one I played, I told the guy at halftime, I'm like, I need to step away from this game. I'm getting angry because I had thrown three pick sixes, and it was just like, it was just a snowball effect. And Heisman, with the fact that your players can go hot and cold with the home field advantage, et cetera, it can snowball really fast. And for a newer player or for a veteran coming back that maybe is still trying to get back into the game, it would be really easy if we played on Heisman for them to just get burned out and be like, you know what, this isn't fun. And not necessarily give up, but, you know, kind of fade out, maybe not hang around the boards, maybe not do, or the Discord, maybe not do a coach's poll here and there. And then you start, we lose some of what makes this league what it is. So I think having everybody still feeling like they can at least compete, maybe not win, but at least compete and have some fun, I think is very important for this first season. I'm very interested to see, there's going to be a patch. There are so many things wrong with this game that have to be patched, and I'm wondering if they're going to patch some things like home field advantage and stuff like that. And if they do, then it makes Heisman a better choice. But that'll probably happen midway through the first season, then we can reevaluate.
Yeah, and that's actually a great segue to our last question. We'll let you get back to your evening. We appreciate you joining us, Nidler. But what, in your eyes, makes a successful first season back for the NDL? What are you guys looking out for?
You know, for me personally, it is just the, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to say this and it sound bad to some folks, but to me, it's already successful. And the only reason I say that is, you know, we have 134 human coaches that are all active on the Discord now. And we have, if I look right now and count it, we have 13 for sure in the farm with another six more. So you have potentially 19 people on the wait list in the farm. So, and those are people that have confirmed, you know, to be there and be ready to jump up into the main league. So to me, you know, that's the first successful step. The next is, you know, getting these games in and getting these guys just seeing what the NDL difference. You know, it's, this league is different from that perspective. It is not about winning games. Yes, we play to win, but it's not a win at all costs. It's respecting your opponent. It's doing things in moderation. It's understanding that, you know, the difference between real life and a video game. Like, yeah, there are some things you see in real life. Like, I don't know, one example is, you know, on a passing play, taken off with your quarterback immediately. In real life, sure, that happens. But in real life, defenders and, you know, things can they can react differently. They're not pre-programmed to, you know, in a video game, the defenders are all pre-programmed on a pass play to start running backwards. They're covering their zones or their man potentially all the way down the field, or at least in a zone, they're programmed to go certain areas. And it takes that program longer than real life to react to something like a quarterback taking off running. So, you know, people have to remember, in a video game, yes, there are things you can do, but we don't do them if they take advantage of the AI. And if you do, it's moderation. You know, that's the NDL difference. It's not lobby ball. It's not using those cheese plays every single time. You know, yes, there are plays out there that are going to work. There are certain coverages, certain formats, certain things where a certain route, a slant route with a slot receiver against a middle linebacker, he's always going to get open at a certain point, potentially, you know, but you don't run that play all the time, once or twice a game. You know, it's moderation is key. And, you know, that's the thing that we're about and always been about, is respecting your opponent and doing it the right way. And I think it was DK who posted something yesterday, and I read it and I told him, I said, man, take that and use it to the farm guys, because it explains it perfectly. Right. The difference between real life and the difference between a video game. And it just helps explain that, you know, the fun that we get out of this is it's the chess match between each other. To me, it's the real life football chess match. It's, you know, how can I don't want to say outsmart, but, you know, you're thinking and doing things between you and your opponent that kind of help. And that's what makes it exciting. You know, it's not taking advantage of the AI. Anybody could do, you know, I can go out and watch YouTube videos on how to run this play or how to do this or how to set that and make it work. To me, that's not fun. You know, if I'm taking advantage of it, it's going to work every time. Well, what's the fun in that? So, you know, that's my opinion on it.
Yeah, I was really proud of myself. I was playing, I think it was bare ass yesterday, and no one was open. And I was like, I could just take off with KJ Jefferson for like 30 yards right now if I wanted to. And I was really proud of myself. I ran for 2 yards and ran out of bounds, because like, that is, hey, he played great defense. He outsmarted me. I had nobody open. I'm not going to take off for 34 yards, you know, because that's just, again, the AI can't react to that, or the CPU can't react to that. So, I think those are maybe some of the examples, and you use some of them already, but that is the style of play that this league was built on. And that makes it so much fun, I think, is kind of tipping your cap to your opponent for making a good play call. And it's like, you know what, like you said, the chess match, I'm going to go out next play and find something that works.
And I've used more checkdowns this year already in the first 2 weeks, and I've used an entire year on any of the previous games, because it is that realism factor. It's, you don't see quarterbacks taking off running all the time, especially if they're, you know, not a Lamar Jackson type. They're going to find the check down and take 3 yards, get what they can, and move on to the next play. But I think the other part of it too, and it goes back to what we've talked about so many times already in this podcast, so many of us are friends. I don't get enjoyment out of abusing the AI against a friend. Like, if I do it against the computer and it's, you know, it's a dynasty game and I've got to win because I got 5 recruits on campus and, you know, I call a play that I know is going to work on 4th down. Okay, whatever. I don't take any enjoyment or satisfaction out of doing that to somebody that I know. That just feels dirty, and I'm not going to do that. And I think that's what the new guys are going to learn as they start to, you know, develop friendships and relationships with people in this game, and they start to develop those rivalries where you know, as soon as out of conference opens, you race to schedule the same people because you have those built-in rivalries. That respect grows, and it adds to that chess match of, you know, if I'm playing VT run and gun, I know I can't throw to whatever side of the field he's on. I'm going to run the ball and force him to have to defend the run. It's that extra little bit of chess match that comes with having played some of these guys so many times over the years that we know their little tendencies. We know what they like to run on 3rd and short, or we know, you know, they like to run play action after they've had a couple successful runs. And it just adds to that back and forth, that chess match, as you put it.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head for me. I mean, that's what it's about. It's the respect. It's the friendship. And when you become friends with people, you automatically respect them more. And once you respect someone, like you said, I don't take enjoyment out of abusing something that's AI related that is going to work against anyone when I'm playing a friend, especially. So, you know, for me, you're exactly right. That's what it is for me. And that's not to coin your phrase, but that's the NDL difference. You know,
I love it.
What sets us apart is, yeah. It's the community that we built. I mean, again, I'm not knocking these new guys. They don't realize what it's like when it's literally been 20 years this year since Jeff Mo put this thing together.
Yeah, actually, I think I'm going to make merch. I think I'm going to get a merch shop going. On
I was
going
to say, you need to trademark
on the website. Get like the SEC t-shirts, but instead it's the NDL, and it just says the NDL difference. Nidler, it's been fun, man.
Real quick, I wanted to ask, because I know that this is the first time we had a guest on. I know we've talked about it, but with us getting ready to kick the season off, first of all, thank you for naming the cup after Beefy. What's your favorite Beefy memory?
Me?
Yes.
Oh, man. there's a lot of them, but, you know, to summarize it, it was just him. His persona, the way he was online, I mean, man, playing Call of Duty with him and just him letting loose on young kids. I mean, he didn't hold back. He
asking how they got the trophy on the mantle.
Yes, it was just, you know, or talking about their moms or he was something else, man. I mean, I tip my cap to that man. It's a shame he's gone, that he can't see this coming back, because I know he would have been excited. And, you know, he was a hell of a dude, man. He really was. And I enjoyed playing with him over the years. You know, he was just a good dude. And for some, he might have been an acquired taste. But to me, it was something that it was just, you were always laughing when you were around him. I mean, you know, he always, whether it was good or bad to other people, it was, to me, just had me in tears, crying, laughing, having a good time all the time. I mean, like I said, some of the best memories. I mean, yes, it was fun in the NDL playing football with him. But for me, man, the Call of Duty was where it takes the cake for me. Some of his moments just going off on the microphone.
Well, that and Grand Theft Auto, when he would sabotage people's races, he would stay at the finish line and hit cars with rocket launchers. I've never laughed so hard in my life.
Well, we'll have to get a full episode with guys who interacted and played with him a lot and share some stories. My only really encounter with him, and I do remember this, I don't know if vividly is the right word, but I remember I played him and he like messaged me after, like, good game, like this and that, and it was in all caps, and I was like, why is this guy yelling at me, like, what like, what is going on here? And I had to ask somebody, like, hey, is Beefy like mad at me, or like, what, like, he's like all caps everything? And they're like, no, that's just Beefy, that's just, he's always on caps. And I'm like, okay, all right, this makes a lot of sense. So yeah,
he always blamed it on bad eyesight.
Awesome. Well, again, Nidler, thanks for jumping on with us. This is awesome. Can't wait to keep bringing this weekly. We'll monitor the out of conference scheduling and hopefully have another pod out for you guys to start next week.
Hey, real quick before I disconnect from you guys, I just want to say thank you tremendously, because, again, not to coin your phrase, but, you know, these podcasts, to me, that it's the NDL difference. It really is. Anytime you could do stuff like this, I think it truly gets people involved. It gets people wanting more, and it sets us apart from other leagues, is, you know, things like this. So keep doing your thing, guys. I love them. I absolutely love them. And I hope you guys continue doing them throughout the season.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it.